Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Come on. Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, and I'm the host of It's Everything West Texas, and we are happy to be back with you today. We have Dr. Ben Gray in the studio with us today, discussing his book, Our Six Balloons, The Neuroscience of Forgiving. I don't know if you remember the last time we met, we were talking about, I guess you would call it trauma. I was telling the story of I had talked with an individual, and they were telling me their story, and it was so intense. It was almost like it had just happened within the last week or so. And when I asked this person, I said to this person, let's go and talk with the individual. Their response was, we can't. They are dead. Dr. Gray told me that he had a similar experience with his father, and we're going to address that somewhere in our presentation today. But right now, I just want to welcome, you back to the program today, Ben.
Thank you, Floyd. It's good to be here again.
Well, you know, I think we got a lot of work to do because I think there's a lot of people being challenged with the things that we're talking about. And I was just noticing on Facebook after I posted this, I was getting quite a bit of response, which that tells me that people are hungry for this type of information.
Yes.
So, I'm all ears again, Ben, and so you can just pick up wherever you want to.
Thank you, Floyd. And I like real situations because that helps us to stay connected to the content and the ideas. I'm going to address your question in two parts. The first part is, yeah, memories that we have that are traumatic can come back to us in a split second. So, and it makes it seem like this happened just yesterday, because our brain has this incredible ability to take a difficult circumstance or situation and bring it back to our current memory within a nanosecond. So there's a part of our brain that is very capable of doing that. And that's what happens when there's a traumatic experience. The other areas of our brain that can be brought up very quickly are pleasurable memories, and we can remember something pleasurable within a very short period of time that brings back. So it's like we have in our brain albums of images that are categorized that we can bring back up and think about that. So that's really what took place when you said, it seemed like yesterday that this happened. Yeah, that's true. Now, how to overcome that? We'll look at that in a few minutes. Okay?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Now, the statement that I'm going to segue into this is, when trauma occurs, portions of our brain become rationally hijacked. Therefore, when emotions get high, our ability to think through something rationally goes by the wayside. This is what I would call road rage. Anytime you've ever heard about this, people who are just living life in a normal circumstance get cut off at an intersection, and all of a sudden something happens. Their brain just goes crazy, and they want to get out and fight somebody. It seems like every day we'll hear experiences of road rage and people doing serious damage to one another. That happens because our brain gets hijacked with our ability to think, and the emotions implode. Just cover the whole brain with emotion. That's what happens. So with trauma, portions of our brain become rationally hijacked. That is a common experience. Now, when I talk about trauma, it's not the event itself, but it's also the ongoing events and portions of the brain that are impacted. I'm going to list for you trauma impacts our amygdala, the hippocampus, the thalamus, the sympathetic and parasympathetic system, our cingulate, access to memory areas, all portions of our prefrontal cortex, brain chemicals, hormones, and organ functions.
And all of that can be hijacked.
All of that can be hijacked.
And you use the word rational.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess on the opposite side of that is irrational. We think about people sometimes being irrational.
Right.
But if they're rationally hijacked, then there's they really believe that whatever it is that hijacked it, they believe that's the way it really is?
Well, in a way. But it is when they're rationally hijacked, it shuts the door to any rational thinking. You're left with emotion. So that's what it means, it's hijacked. So our brain does some curious things for us, but it is a reservoir of great news and extremely bad news, along with other kind of things that can be called up at a moment's notice. But those are two categories that can be addressed within a nanosecond. So you recall in our last meeting that the captain, the blue balloon, had a meeting with the green team and the red team. And he started with the green team and said, "What's your function? How do you help me?" And they said, "We help you with your imagination. We help you with your wisdom. We help you able to relax." That was the interview. Then I decided to interview the red team. "What do you do for me?" And so they said, "Well, we help protect you." That's partially true, but it's not the whole story. And Flash's expression was, "Hey, my job, I hang around the red guy, the red balloon, and I'd simply take pictures, good news and bad news, and I file them away and put them away at request, and so that you, the captain, can call that up, and I will tell you what those images are." So now, after listen to these two teams, the green team and the red team, says, "I need time to think about this." And so he comes back and says, he meets with the green team and says, "Okay, guys, I've made a decision. I made a choice. I'm going to choose you guys." Well, the green team is excited to no end because they've never been chosen wholly as the functioning part of the brain compared to the red team that's always angry.
Wow.
And so captain feels good and the green team feels excited. And so he's about to walk out of the room and Sage, the wise one over in the green team, says, you're going to talk to the red team about your decision." Or she says, "Well, I wasn't thinking about doing that." He said, "Well, as part of the brain family, you need to do that." He said, "So I'm captain?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, I appoint you, my Sage, to go down and talk to the red team."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so the Sage says, "I'm your counselor. I provide you wisdom. I'm not the one to actually implement the plan. That's your job." He said, "I thought I'd get out of that." "No, you cannot get out of an important decision like this." So he says, "But I'll give you a plan. First of all, you're going to expect more anger. Second is you're going to have to find a way to exit and then turn around and walk off, letting them live with your decision. So before I do that, I want to talk about, just made a choice. Choice is key in neuroscience. And the point that I want to make about a choice is this. It is the most powerful tool we have in our brain, making choices. Everything that we do boils down to making choices. I choose that. Every choice that we make shuts or either opens a door to an infinite number of doors and possibilities. Any point in our life, we can change the direction of our life by making a simple choice.
What about people that say they don't have a choice?
Oh, my.
Is that true?
Oh, that's not true at all. We have choices. They're not aware of their choices. So a therapist or a counselor or a friend will say, well, you have a choice here. You had a choice or you have a choice ahead of you. And if you're a counselor or a helper to a friend, you say, what do you see are your choices? And if you choose that, what do you think is going to happen? Well, that's a very helpful path to take to help someone. But the point I want to make is, even though you've made bad choices or choices that have consequences to them, at any point in our life, we can change the direction of our life by making another choice.
That's simple.
That's simple. We can make that choice. We don't want to make that choice sometimes, but we have the choice. So we're not locked in to decisions that we make. We can always choose a different path. So he says, meets with a red team now. You got it?
Yeah, so red team. I'm interested in what's going to happen now.
Okay. So he meets with the red team and he says, okay, guys, I've decided I'm going to move in a new direction. I'm choosing growth. I refuse to allow your anger to rob me of my joy. And I've been living with you guys for years, and I've decided I want to go with a green team and growth as opposed to fear. What do you suppose of the response of the red team to not being selected for the first time?
Oh, they probably is hot as wet hen, as the old saying go.
Yeah. They ain't happy, buddy. Let me tell you, they ain't happy at all. In fact, I have a picture here. I'll show it to you. Here's a picture of a woman hearing the news that she's not being chosen. Her hair looks like it's electrified, going up in all directions. Her mouth is open, looks like she's preparing for a dental exam.
Now that's mad.
She is mad, and she got her hands up. Look at those eyes. I mean, I don't want to be near this woman when this happens, but men go through the same experience. I just happen to have this picture. But it is sure a surprise. So the principle is, with change, expect resistance. That's what's going to happen here, choosing a different team. Now, Sage, the wise one in our brain, sees that the captain is underdeveloped. He's just a young little brain. He doesn't do a lot of thinking. He's been pushing this off and delaying important decisions all of his life. That's why he wanted Sage to go down and make this decision for him. It's now. In fact, he says, I tell you what, how would you like to go to brain school? To the captain. The captain says, okay. He says, you'll be my only student. It's just me and you, and we'll have a chance to sit and talk. I'll listen as much as you want me to listen, and we'll be together, and I want to be your counselor. That's the function of Sage, wisdom and discernment. He says, man, I want to do that for sure. So he says, the captain says, okay, if you want to help me, I need your help to tell me how I can stop some pictures in my mind that go around and around and around and around. Doesn't seem like there's any end to it. I spent all my time thinking in circular thinking, like it goes around and around. I can't get off this track. He said, yeah, well, that's called ruminating. It's a process of ongoing negative thinking. You have no idea how it begins and no idea how it ends.
Wow.
So that's a torment. And so rumination is about myself and dealing with the past. It's not others in past, it's intrapersonal, it's with me only. Myself thinking about a past event I can't get rid of. Got it?
I think I do.
Hey, you got it. So here's the process. Ruminate, there's no resolution. Ruminate, no resolution. Ruminate, no resolution. This can go on as many times as a cow chews could.
Wow.
That's how it got its term, is an agriculture term, watching a cow.
Yeah, the stomach.
Yeah, the stomachs. And so they'll kick it back up. And then they'll chew it more, kick it back down. So there are four stomachs. And that process of doing, of chewing, all that is called ruminating. That's how psychiatry got that term. Okay. Now, given this image that we have, which is negative, that comes at us, it's like coming at us on a train. And so he says, tell me now how I can stop this image coming to my mind that circulated all the time. It's the only thing I think about. Da-da-da-da-da. I can't get it out of my mind. He said, okay, here's what you do. There are several steps to this, and I'm going to tell you what they are. Okay. I said, I am. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You are ready. Okay, the first one is I want you to mentally imagine that this train is coming at you with this image. It has a lot of power. Got it? And it goes around and around and around. So the first thing you do is mentally, you look it square in the eye and you say, stop. Mentally, you just put your hand up and say, stop. That's the first one. You got to stop the circulating and your mind will follow what you're telling it to do. Stop. I said, stop. Okay. The next step is very interesting. It's the key here. It is called pivot and replace. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that in front of you, coming at you is a train from this wall over here. You got it?
Got it.
It's coming over here, again, and you put your hand up and you say stop, right?
Right.
Second step is to pivot and replace. So you're going to pivot. You can pivot left or you can pivot right.
Mm-hmm.
And each of these have different sets of images. How about that?
Okay.
Now, you're going to substitute some images here. If you pivot, and this process right now of looking left or right is called mindfulness. It is self, and it is the present. It's not about the past. Mindfulness is about what I'm thinking about right now. And I'm going to take some images and focus on the images now, as opposed to paying attention to bad things that happened in the past. I'm going to pivot and look left. Now, when we look left, some of these images that you'll find will be images of scenery. There will be images. Let me give some examples that you'll see on the left-hand side that take your mind away. Just playing. Play. Playing with a child is a great way to set your mind away from, it puts you into the present. Hiking, not just exercise in a gym, but hiking, walking and seeing nature. Playing a musical instrument puts us into the here and now. Art therapy, music therapy, aromatherapy. Learning a foreign language puts us into the now. I can't think about trauma while I'm playing a musical instrument. You see how that works?
Oh, yeah.
It offsets it. Mm-hmm. Looking at sunrises and sunsets at the end of the day or before the day. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for a sun to come up, but I can appreciate a sunset. And every sunset is different.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. So if I go out and observe the beauty of the sunset, that has put me into the moment. Right now, I'm looking at the sunset. There's a lot of literature out there about this next one, and it's so simple. Research shows that people with strong mental health have the ability to express gratitude. Interesting. That's it. Express gratitude.
Huh.
What is, if you think about it now, you'd say, what is it take for a person to express gratitude compared to those who do not express gratitude? Now, this is a marker for me. If I'm around someone and I don't ever hear a thank you or anything about expression of appreciation or gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I ask myself the question, well, where's their brain? What are they thinking? Well, thinking about something else other than the gift of you he gave me, or the gift of a meal, the gift of your interaction, the gift of your presence. They're so absorbed with their own horror that they cannot even get out of their own mind to say thank you. It's that simple, but so profound.
Man, I have a question here.
Yeah.
This sounds great, but somebody might say that you've never ruminated like I've ruminated.
Okay.
You haven't had this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What do you tell a person, I mean, that's got that kind of idea?
Ruminating is a process that can be stopped. It is really the mind over itself. When the mind is not in control, when you're not in control of your mental functions, you're not in control. So the idea is to get in control of images that are horrifying you. It is a matter of self-discipline, and it takes energy to get there. And it doesn't matter how deep it is, the principle remains the same. We focus on the beauty of the moment compared to the horror of the past, and we can make that choice. And I'd say, if it were in therapy, you'd say, you're choosing to slip back into where you were. What are you experiencing right now? And I said, well, I just remember so-and-so. How do you feel about that? Well, I just remember so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, how long do you want to stay there? Do you realize what's taking place is you're leaving the beauty of the moment? You're slipping into the past.
What is that? Is that where that phrase came that says, insanity is continuing to do the same thing you're doing and expect different results?
That's insanity. Yeah, well, that fits, that quote from Einstein fits into this. And it's like, if you continue to think stupid stuff, you're going to get stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. If you think about positive, you're going to get positive. That's also part of what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. But all of this points to, now, let me just say right here, remember the conversation we had a moment ago, which was my father had passed?
Yes.
And I want to get rid of those images?
Right.
I actually began to realize what I have opened to me. Now, here we go. In this case, we pivoted to the right, which are signs of nature and music. Now, if we pivot to the right as opposed to the left, these are what I call picture albums. And it's in our picture albums we find, it's like our vacation pictures, the beauty of our vacation pictures, a family, flowers, taking an album, a scrapbook, and going through those positive times that we had, those images, it's our personal scrapbook. Now, this is what happened to me. I stayed with my father's circumstance, and I was so angry about what he did. And it took me a few years to come to grips with saying, my wife asked me, do you have any positive images of your father? And I said, yeah. I said, what are those? I said, well, I remember every time I would come for a visit, my father would come to the garage door, the opening, and he would stand there with his white T-shirt on, blue jeans, and he would wave at me very gently, goodbye, and then throw me a kiss. But my anger was so much, I wasn't able to capture or bring that image up. So she said, was that helpful to you? I said, yes. Yeah. Are there other images you had? So now Louise is my helper, and she says, do you remember any other images you had that were very positive about your father? I said, yeah. I remember going with him to the restaurant and having pancakes when I was a little kid. And I remember when he bought me a bicycle. And it was one of the high points of my life, getting a new bicycle when I was 5 years old. And I remember Dad would come in from work and I would sit on his lap. So those mental images that I had are in an album for my dad. Good news and bad news. I chose to remember the album, create the album of those images. I could compress them together and focus on my father, the good things that he did for me and did with me. And as a result of that, I quit thinking about how I was hurt and harmed. I just chose to consider bringing forth the positive images of Dad. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And I've got a question on that. Yeah. So the album was there,
uh-huh,
with the pictures,
uh-huh,
but evidently was it at the bottom of the box somewhere? I'm sitting here listening to that. That's some pretty good stuff. Yeah, How did that get lost?
It came about as a result of my wife asking me the question, tell me some images you remember that were helpful and lovable. And so I sorted around my collections. Oh, I remember that. It's like taking it out and putting it on a chalkboard. I put it up here, a felt board. Remember those? I put it up here. Other images? I said, well, I think so-and-so. Well, there was another one. I'd think about it, I'd bring it up. Now I'm creating an album of my father over here with positive things. And now that I've brought it up from my memory up to the current, it makes it real easy to use again. I don't have to go back and do a lot of sorting anymore. I can bring it up very quickly in the album.
And then you kind of figured out the guy had some good traits.
Hey, man. And it's called that whole process. Is called pivot and replace. I pivot and I look at these things in mindfulness. I pivot, go in the other direction. I see images that are helpful of family and vacations. So I'm replacing it with positive left and right. Why would I not want to turn around and look to my past? Why would I not want to do that?
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I tell a lot of people do that, my friend. They'll look over. Can you think of a Bible story where somebody looked over their shoulder after being told, don't look back?
Yeah, I think it's a salt block somewhere.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Sister, let me tell you, if you turn back and look at that lament over what you just used to have, something bad's going to happen. And she turned to a pillar of salt. That's enough image for me to think about. Turning back, I don't want to become a pillar of salt, metaphorically.
Right.
But there's nothing back there that's helpful to me. It's all about looking left and right, and that's going to help me move forward rather than to, I've already stopped the train. Now I'm going to move the train in a different path, and that's called creating a new pathway. A new pathway.
Oh, okay.
And we take that new pathway, a new set of tracks, going forward, bringing with it the beauty of the left and the right, mindfulness along with the albums. Now, here's how our brain responds to that. When we have done that and we have new cargo to work with in our brain goes through another phase, and it is the relaxing phase. It's like, now I can relax. I'm not threatened by something coming at me anymore. I can now relax. And in doing that, it's where we drop our shoulders and go, oh,
wow.
Have you ever seen anybody do that? Do you ever experience that?
Yes.
Well, that's a portion of your brain. Remember Harmony? I was talking about one of the three green balloons.
Right.
That's her. She helps us find our balance. And when we find our balance, we learn how to relax. That's the deal. And so that is a gift. That is a gift. Relaxation is a gift that we have. It's built into us. And it happens when our mind is reconciled. We can relax. Now get this, will you? From there, we move to the last one, which is after relaxing, we move into love. We experience love. We experience love. That's a natural consequence of being relaxed. If I'm uptight, anxiety is there. It's hard to love when I'm not relaxed. Here's a statement I hope our listeners take down. We heal at the pace of love.
No love, no healing.
Bingo, jingo, buddy. Bingo, jingo. And we heal at the pace of compassion. When we're compassionate toward others, our healing begins. It's an expression of our own inner love that we can love others and find compassion for another person. Compassion. That's how. It's not a time schedule. It's not a straight path. Healing is not a straight path. It's at the path of love. Are we able to love? Are we demonstrating love to ourselves and love to others? Here's a quote to consider. Gratitude and fear cannot coexist.
Gratitude
and fear cannot coexist. Why is that?
Well, they got it seem opposite.
Uh-huh. They're opposite, and they represent different portions of our brain that are competing with each other. Gratitude is one of the members of the green team.
Right.
Remember? Gratitude, thankfulness, mindfulness. Fear is over in the red team, and there is a struggle that goes on. They cannot coexist at the same time. If that's the case between gratitude and fear, then we have a choice. Remember the choice? We're back to choices.
Right.
I can choose gratitude or I can choose fear. So therefore, you say, what is the consequence of gratitude and what's the consequence of fear? So which of these do I want to embrace to be filled a vacuum in my brain?
Well, I would think gratitude.
Hey, that's the green team.
Should go with that every time.
I want to do with that. Okay, now we're going to move to the end of this. It goes like this. The captain and Sage had this discussion before about going to brain school.
Right.
So he says, today we're going to do something different. That's what Sage says. We're going to take a little time away, just the two of us. We're going to talk about what can be done to help improve the brain and your role as a leader. Okay. So they've had their little chit-chat, their little summit.
Okay.
And so they come back. While they come back, they learn that there was a vacuum in the brain, and the red team went in and usurped the role of the sense of well-being with the green team. No one is around to set those boundaries. So they come back, and there are elements of the brain that are horrified, have been horrified by the red team coming in. Captain wasn't around, and Sage wasn't around to protect the brain.
Wow.
So at this point, they see horror. Those two see horror that's been taking place. And so they say, you know, Sage says to the captain, what are you going to do about Amos's uncontrolled anger? He said, you know, I've never faced this before. I said, well, you are now. And what am I going to do? And he said, I think you're going to have some time alone, and I think you're going to have to write down a statement of what you believe is important. And by doing that, you're making your own manifesto. You're making your own plate of how you're going to deal with this in the future. and you're going to have a confrontation. So, chapter 6 is entitled, Going from Confession to Leadership. This is a key point in chapter number 6, and I'll close with this.
Okay.
I can't go through 17 chapters, but here it is. The captain says, I want everybody in the brain frame to come around and just join me. We're going to make a circle here. And I want everybody to see each other.
Uh-huh.
And he says, to Amos, I want you to have a seat right here in front of me. Uh-huh. And you and I are going to see each other face to face, and others are going to listen in. Oh, those of you on the skirts of this conversation, you just listen. But this conversation is about the two of us, and we need to have a little eyeball-to-eyeball, heart-to-heart talk with each other.
Mm-hmm.
He says, during our dream session, Sage asked me a direct question. He says, what's holding you back from becoming leader of your family? At that moment, I realized my answer was fear. So I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm going to lean into my fears. He looks straight at Amos and says, I chose not to address your anger and my life, but no more. I chose to pretend that your anger did not bother me. It did, but no more. I chose to be fearful, which has led me to be less confident, but no more. Now, in this, realize that there are choices that he's made from the past of where this is.
Right.
Therefore, I talked about the power of choosing. And so it goes, I chose to be afraid of you, therefore avoiding you, but no more. I chose to be held captive of your anger, resulting in my inability to rest and relax, but no more. Remember that thought?
Yeah.
I chose to believe if I said nothing about your anger, you would change. It has not, but no more. I become like a child wanting someone else to step in for me, but no more. Not making tough decisions has led me to losing respect for myself, but no more. My energy was focused on retreating from life rather than embracing life, but no more. Fear has gripped every fiber of my brain, but no more. I become isolated from my friends because you have convinced me to not forgive, but no more. I believed I had control over being a forgiving person. Sadly, I did not, but now I can. The days of living in fear have passed. Enough is enough.
Amen. That is great. So, Ben, this has been some very powerful information. Is how could somebody else tap into this?
Well, first of all, remember again that fear is associated with the inability to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you weren't to read the rest of the book, you could stop right here and say, if I were to write down statements of choosing, what would those be that would demonstrate I'm in charge of my brain and not fear?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that I selected and wrote. But every person listening has the ability to do the same.
Yeah. Well, I guess get what I was meaning. Do you have a phone number, an email, a website? Do you do anything out in the community?
Well, you're very kind. Yes, the answer is I teach classes in neuroscience to ladies who've been traumatized emotionally, physically, or sexually, and I work with them as a group. I give content information like neuroscience, and then 2 weeks later, the ladies have a chance to go to a group session of ladies face-to-face to share their observations of what they learned in the class a few weeks prior to that. And we have facilitators that help them discuss the challenges they have in forgiving. Remember again, it's just so interesting to me that all roads to mental health lead to the door of forgiving.
Wow. So this class, is it a regular scheduled class, or do they?
Once a month. I'll meet with ladies either in my home with other ladies, present, or either I'll have a Zoom class and they can Zoom in, and I'll teach what you see here in a Zoom class.
Okay, so if they wanted to get in contact, which is an email, the best way to do it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. You can send me an email, and I'll let them know when our classes are and where we meet.
And what's that email address?
Ben Gray, B-E-N-G-R-A-Y, 1945, which is my birthday. I'm getting close to 80. Come on now.
Oh, come on. God bless. Yes. Yeah,
at gmail.com. One more time. It's Ben Gray.
1945. At
gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
And that is G-R-A-Y. So it is B-E-N-G-R-A-Y 1945 at gmail.com. All you got to do is send me an email and say, hey, I listened to the podcast with you and Floyd. I'd like to hook up with your group. Tell me when we can meet.
All right. Well, Ben, I really appreciate the service that you're doing. This is a tremendous service in the community because a lot of people need this type of information. So, again, thank you for being with us, and perhaps we'll have you again one day.
You're so kind.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.